A reading from the book of Romans. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Here ends the reading. Second reading from the Gospel of Mark. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these to whom the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Good morning. Thank you all for coming and listening to me this morning, and peace be to you and this community from God, our loving and merciful Father in heaven. It's a privilege to be able to share with you some of my thoughts on life and God and all of that important stuff. I think it's a bit confining that we as seniors get a half-hour service to share everything we've learned over the past 4 years or more. Kind of makes me feel like I have to give like a perfect sermon, but I know nobody would hold me to that standard, so I won't presume to do it. There's obviously way too much stuff that I could cover right now, so I try to focus in and try to pick a topic which is both interesting to me personally and I think universally applicable to us as people of faith. You probably surmised from the prayer and the readings and such this morning that I'm going to talk a little bit to you about kids. I picked this particular story from Mark and the passage from Romans that Ben read for us because for a number of years now I've been struggling, I've been a little hung up on the phrase faith of a child. Faith of a child. What does that even mean? Where is it in the Bible? It's not, actually, as it turns out, as common as that phrase is, it's not in the Bible. The closest thing you get is the story I just read, which appears in three of the Gospels, the whole let the little children come to me thing, and followed up by whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it, which is actually a pretty cute little scene, followed up by a fairly weighty piece of advice from Jesus. It would seem pertinent then to figure out what exactly it is that Jesus is going on about here. The reason I have such an issue with the faith of a child phrase is not so much that I don't like the idea by itself. It's the misconstrued assumption that I think often accompanies it, which really bothers me. I think we often hear the phrase, we need to have a faith of a child, and we think to ourselves, well, Jesus, okay, wants me to just sort of soak up this whole religious thing, don't ask a lot of questions, I don't really want to figure out what's going on here, because if I start asking questions like an adult, I'm going to try really hard to understand what's going on, and probably at the end of the day, I'm going to confuse myself and maybe the gospel itself, and we don't want to do that. If that's the idea that you might get from that phrase or from these passages that we read, I would ask you, when was the last time you had a conversation with a little child? Children, without a doubt, I would say, are in fact positively the most relentlessly inquisitive people you will ever meet. Ask Julie Ashworth, I mean, she'll tell you all about that. the question, absolutely everything you say to them, and they keep you really honest. I mean, if you're inconsistent, they'll get on you about that, probably more so than most grown-ups will. Several years ago, I was on a houseboat trip in northern Minnesota with my family and my extended family and my mother's side. And at the time, my three-year-old cousin was with us. And I remember that week that I would say probably about 80% of what came out of that kid's mouth that week was one single word. Any guesses? Why? Exactly. He was in the why stage. Why this? Why that? Why everything? He wanted to know the reason behind everything you said. He wanted to know the logic behind everything you said. Why are we fishing? Why are we stopping? Why is it getting darker outside? Why do I have to go to bed? Why can't I touch that? And no matter how you respond to the question, what does he say afterwards? What does he say after that? And so on. You can't win. The kid asks questions on and on and on and on, and such is the style of questioning of little children. I'm not so persuaded that similar behavior is discouraged by a God who claims us all as little children. It's not too difficult, actually, at all, to find people in the Bible who do this all the time. Job, of course, who can forget Job, who constantly is demanding answers, I think rightfully so, for the tragedy that befalls him. Jeremiah, you just take a quick skim through that book, he's complaining to God all the time. Love it. Jacob literally wrestles with God. That's pretty cool. And my personal favorite, the Son of Man, Christ himself, cries out from the cross, echoing the words of the psalmist, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God doesn't always make sense, but if we are to approach Jesus, if we are to receive the kingdom of God as his little children, I think we are certainly entitled to maintain curious minds and inquisitive spirits. The childlike approach does not leave complexity at the door, I would argue. It doesn't simplify our faith in a way that waters it down. On the contrary, it causes us to re-engage the mysteries of faith with renewed inquiry and a reverent wonder. Grown-ups, I find, are prone to questioning budget meetings and social statements and the more benign inconsistencies of our daily lives. A childlike faith makes me ask more important things, even if it's, is there a God? Is the Bible true? Why do bad things happen to good people? And maybe the scariest one, what if the Catholics have it right? I've wrestled with that one a lot. And I think it's okay, I mean, overall, to ask those kind of questions, the really big issues. It's okay to send those to God. I think another distinction we might make, though, having said that, is between questioning arbitrarily, so sort of questioning, venting our frustrations to nobody in particular, and on the other hand, recognizing that when we question, we are questioning God. We're talking to the creator of the universe. And we have to keep that in mind when we bring these inquisitions, these inquiries to our Father in heaven. I think Jeremiah puts it pretty well when he says, "You will be in the right, O Lord, when I lay charges against you, but let me put my case to you." Or if I can paraphrase a little bit, God, I know you're God, you can do this, you can be the way you're being, that's fine. I just question the logic here. I have a bit of a problem with what's going on. You can do your thing, I know you're God and I'm not, so whatever, but I just want to give you an official FYI that I'm not really cool with it. And I think most of us can relate to that. I mean, at some point, at some level, to some degree, sometime in our lives, it's pretty easy to find a situation where things aren't going the way that we would have them. And it's easy for us to cry out to God and say, "Hey, creator of the universe, you can do everything. Why aren't you doing things the way I'd like to see them?" Which brings us back to the part of Romans that Ben read for us. We suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. As little children, we are heirs along with Christ himself. As little children of God, we receive the privilege to cry out to Abba, to Daddy, to tell him all that is awry with our world. A wise theologian once advised me on how to minister to a friend in need. This particular friend of mine had suffered something of a family tragedy, which left both her family in tatters and left her personally pretty scarred and pretty bitter against a God that she had thought originally would take care of everything and not allow such things to happen to her. I asked my other friend, the theologian, what do I say to this person? Where do I even begin? What do I tell someone who is literally just raging against God and for the life of her cannot hear the answer she needs to hear? He told me, tell her, remind her that at least she's sending it to the right address. At least she's sending it to the right address. That kind of stuck with me. I think it is one of the astounding comforts of the Christian life to know that the God who made the heavens and the earth welcomes and hears our cries, the cries of his little children, his words, not ours. That very act of crying out, Paul would tell us, reminds us that we are living under the grace of God, waiting, Paul says, to receive freedom from our bondage to a sinful and broken world that very often, all too often, leaves us without answers that we need. So where does that leave us? I think we'll probably find that the childlike receipt of the kingdom of God, which Jesus recommends to us, might not always give us the answers that we want to hear, but it does reveal the lives we need to live. The faith of a child, it turns out, turns conventional living upside down. A child asks the big questions, really wrestles with his or her world, and a child knows very well to bring every petition to a loving father, big or small. At the end of the day, however, a little child is not concerned with the stock market or the bio test, the insurance bill, or the church council meetings. The child has faith, profound faith, in daily bread and not in the potential troubles of tomorrow. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If that's not faith, what is? Remember, then, that the mysteries and the struggles and the anomalies of your daily life can and ought to be thrown at the feet of your loving Father, whose mercy and grace are bigger than all of the problems of your life and all of this world. Let the little children come to me, Jesus says. God welcomes you to struggle. He welcomes you to cry out to Abba. He welcomes you to question what's going on. And when you do, feel free, feel more than welcome to bring along the sin and the brokenness which probably got you there in the first place. Our Father who art in heaven promises to strip away those things that you may engage in your world again and again, renewed as a little child, curious and exploring the mysteries of life that can and only will bring you back to God's infinite grace. Amen. Would you please stand for the next hymn?